Penalty and Tausch begins now.
And it begins.
I like the whistling.
You know what? The boys this morning on Wisconsin's Morning News brought up an interesting question. Madonna's getting sued because she showed up 2.5 hours late and she lip synced.
What? Well, was she sick?
I don't know. But you can't show up 2.5 hours late to a concert. You just can't do it. Unless there's weather. You're the one setting the time. Show up. Be there.
Like, doesn't she have a bus or, like, a manager that's helping her out with that kind of thing?
But there's people suing Madonna because she was 2.5 hours late and she lip-synced.
We live in a very litigious society.
Yeah, but I mean, let's
how
be
much
honest.
Do you sue them? Like, are they suing her for
airline, hotel, probably, you know, distress?
If
I don't know.
If it's just one of those things, do you think anybody sues? Like, if she's just 2.5 hours
no,
later,
probably
just
not.
Lip-syncing.
And by the way, I told them, you're not suing for lip-syncing. I think every artist lip-syncs. And by the way,
we don't.
If I go, we definitely don't. If I go to a concert, I don't even probably know, unless it's just blatant, I don't even know if they're lip-syncing. Do you?
Tausch doesn't.
Tausch
doesn't.
You do not. You can tell me you know that they're lip-syncing.
I actually think it's pretty easy to tell. Like, you can just hear if they're breathing or not.
Whoop-dee-blankin-doo. Like, you got a little jelly roll Nelson over here. So you can tell every time somebody's lip-syncing.
Are you familiar with Jason Derulo?
I've heard of him.
I am familiar with his work, yeah.
So he's a big dancer in addition to a singer.
Okay.
And when he came to the campus of Bradley University, he barely sang any of his songs because he was up on the stage, like, dancing around, doing his whole thing. And that was more the show than him actually singing the song. So he only sang, like, one or two.
But the music was all playing, and you could still sing along.
Yeah, and he was dancing along. And he was, like, you could tell he was lip-syncing if he was trying.
I'm okay with that. I don't love it, but I'm okay with it. I'm not suing him for that.
Now,
but don't show up 3 hours late. Madonna.
I don't know what Madonna's concert all entails, but like if Adele doesn't do much but just like stand there and sing. Like, you can't do that in lip sync. You got to sing if you're just standing there singing.
I kind of disagree. But if her voice is hoarse, you either say, you're going to come and listen, or would you rather cancel the show? What would you rather have? I'd rather go to the Blanken concert, watch her Blanken lip sync, and move on with my life. I'd be fine with it. I would be excited, but I'm not going to sue.
I guess that brings up a good point. Like, I've never thought about how does a musician call in a sick day?
They do. If they have a vocal cord problem, and then they reschedule
and
the concert.
That was my question. If you're, you know, obviously if there's weather or health, I don't think you can really do anything. But if I'm going to the Sphere and I want to go to a concert at the Sphere, if and when the Killers ever do it, I'm there. And I fly out there, I get hotel. Let's say I'm $3,000-$4,000 in. I get on one of the Fortrea clinical trials. We get it knocked out. Boom. Head out there. And then it all gets canceled because, I don't know, they just don't feel like doing it. It's not just that, okay, they'll refund my ticket. Okay, well, are you going to refund my hotel? Are you going to refund? Like, they're not going to. That's the risk you take. So give me lip sync, or I'd rather lip sync than give me nothing, if that makes sense.
Give me liberty or give me death. Give me lip syncing rather than nothing.
Well, can we all agree? We're not suing. Like, then I brought up, well, what? Jordan Love goes and throws 4 picks? You're going to sue the Packers and get your money because they didn't play well?
That's great.
What are we going to do here?
That's not
it is, though.
No, that's like saying you bought tickets to go see Packers Chiefs last year, and instead of the Chiefs rolling in, it's the Chargers coming in.
Let me tell you something. No, that's
not it.
The
game started 3 hours late.
I'll tell you this. You go to a Lakers Bucks game, and LeBron doesn't play, and the only reason you go, I mean, I don't think you should be able to sue for that either.
So apparently, as
I've done some. Come on, dude. You're 60. You're not out getting
Madonna,
hammered.
Come
and
on, dude.
Get your butt out there. If you want to be 15 minutes late, we can live with that. 2.5 hours? Like, what are you doing?
What if Roger Goodell was sick for the draft?
The draft would go on.
Like, does he lip sync the picks?
Less booing.
No, just move on. Bring in the next guy. Troy Vincent, step on up. Nobody cares about Roger Goodell. I hate to tell Roger this, but nobody gives two rips if he's... The draft will go on without Roger blanking Goodell.
Announcing the picks is one of the staples of the draft.
No, it's not.
It's not the same without him.
No, it's completely the same, with or without him.
So, apparently Madonna did this in New York, and then it happened again in D.C. At Capital One
Arena.
Might
be time for old Madonna to call it. Say, hey, good run. And you're going to be late, 2.5, 3 hours late. Like, let's go. What a slap to the face of the 60,000 people, or however big the stadiums are that she's playing.
I think there are basketball arenas that she's playing at this point. But be that as it may, you're right. She shouldn't show up late. I don't know enough about the law to know whether or not these class action suits will succeed or not.
Can you imagine, though, if the Packers, if this goes through, all of a sudden you look at it and say, oh, Aaron Jones fumbled twice. I'm going to sue him. Like that.
Yeah.
Not great.
Via the talk and text line, Matt in West Bend, Madonna is on load management.
She had a Kawhi night.
All right. I've been wanting to get to this. We need to get to Evan Cohen, who's coming up. But you saw this from Ken Ingles and sent it along.
Mm-hmm.
The Vontae Mack, no matter what, post-it note. Who is your Packers post-it note guy? We're going to do this throughout the show, and we'll do it with Evan as well. My question for you is, where do you stand on draft day? Because you also sent me some slander that somebody took a long time. It was one of those really long Twitter posts that if you pay for the subscription, you get like all the perks, including you can write as long as you want.
Mm.
And this person went very long on how unrealistic the film is, including to the point that the capologist, Jennifer Garner, is suggesting David Putney. Special teams, because the GM hadn't even thought that he might need a return guy. Does that film suck, or is it great?
Oh, I love it. But I'm a football guy, so I love it.
Football guy.
Yeah, if you're a football guy or gal, you'll love Draft Day. If you don't, it's still entertaining. There's a little love story in there and everything else. You can still get... But if you're Johnny Analytics, like, this is not... Hey, let me tell you a little secret, y'all. Hollywood makes stuff up. Yeah, it's dramatized.
There's not... The Gutenator's not a real person?
They do drama things in movies. They make it different.
I also thought... I've always thought this about Draft Day. The fact that Kevin
Costner...
Jesse,
do you not like my whispering? My Joe Biden
whisper guy.
It kind of gives me the goosebumps a little bit.
Like, that's weird. That goosebumps.
Yeah. Hey, Greg Doyle, enough with the whispering. I also thought it was strange that Kevin Costner's mother, married to a longtime NFL head coach, would think that the best time to scatter her late husband's ashes on the practice field would be on the day that the first round is occurring.
Ah, it's a big moment for her son. Memories are flowing.
He's throwing his computer against the wall.
That is completely realistic to me. I don't have a problem with that.
You do? Okay. All right. Some of our Cleveland teammates are in Draft Day, which I think is celebrating its 10th anniversary. I think that's a 2014
film. It is a 2014 movie, yep.
Yeah. Okay. So I'd be curious where Evan Cohen falls on Draft Day, the film.
Guarantee you he loves it.
I do. So, and he and I have a lot in common, as you always point out. So we'll find out. Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike, scheduled to appear next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella at 855-PELLA-WI or visit online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Music means the Killers, whose lead singer Tausch isn't sure of their name, but he's going to go see them at the Sphere whenever they play.
Yes,
in Vegas. Means it's time to talk to Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike. Evan, good morning. How are you?
I hate to do this. I already have to correct Tausch on something. No. They're not going to play the Sphere anytime soon because they have a residency, I believe, somewhere else in August, Tausch.
Well, yeah, but that, I mean, where's their residence? Is it in Vegas?
It's in Vegas.
Okay.
In Vegas, where they're from. So yeah, they're not allowed to play this year.
Still don't know why they didn't play the Super Bowl this year. That's still dumb.
I agree with. You know what I was thinking about with you guys?
What's that?
You really do have the perfect schedule for eating. Yeah, I was thinking about this. You get breakfast at a regular time. You get off the air at noon. You can have lunch. Because I am so hungry right now driving home. But the whole day is thrown off, and I'm thinking, and I'm an hour earlier because it's in 11:20 my time, 12:20, sorry, 10:20 your time. I'm so hungry, and then I have to eat breakfast during a break. Like, I believe seven, 12, and 6 is when I try to eat, but it's hard with this schedule. You guys, what a schedule.
Yeah, great schedule. You know what? You know who's got a better schedule? Greeny. 10 to 12. So that time slot and the fact that he only works like 2 days a week and he's 10 to 12. If you're looking for the great slot, Evan, that seems to be the great lunch breakfast slot would be Greeny's, no?
Is that right?
Don't you think?
Is that right, Tosh?
It feels like it.
No. No, I think you guys. I think okay. What you guys have is better.
All right. So, Evan, before we get into a draft day, the movie and the Killers and Madonna and all that stuff, what was your – I listened a little this morning. Somehow you compared yourself to Joel Embiid and your dad told you to not bring the ball down. So how do you compare yourself to Joel Embiid is my first question.
That's not – okay, I understand how you could take that out of context and think I did
listened
that.
To the whole segment.
I understand.
You told Canty and Michelle – hey, you know what? Embiid's bringing the ball down. I mean, my dad told me that if you're a big guy and you bring the ball down, you level the playing field. So if he tells me that, why would Embiid do that? So I don't think I took anything out of context.
No, I understand that. But you left a big part of this out.
Did I?
Which was that Tim Legler, who compared himself today, if he puts bifocals on to Benjamin Franklin, that's a whole other story. He said, Embiid, because of the wear and tear and the injury, has in essence made himself a guard because he doesn't play near the basket and thus makes himself smaller as a result. That's where that comparison came in.
But you did compare yourself to Embiid. Like, those are facts.
I believe so, yes. I believe
okay.
so.
Okay, yeah. That's all I said. Mm-hmm. Hey, what did you make of all of the officiating last night? Does it come off as distasteful to you as it does to me when LeBron, they blow a 20-point lead? Were there some questionable calls? Yeah, there were. But don't you want your star players after a game to say, did it make you a little queasy when everybody complained about the refs, or is it just the way it goes?
I mean, there's a few things you want from your stars, right? You want the level of accountability, or you want them to talk about a pandemic in the 80s. One or the other is really what you want from your stars.
Nice.
In this specific case, it is not surprising in any way, shape, or form that the two sources of complaints were Daryl Morey, I believe was born in Baraboo. I could be wrong about that. But Daryl Morey, who runs the Philadelphia 76ers, formerly running the Rockets, who has more complaints to the league than he does finals appearances, and LeBron James. I mean, let's be honest. This is not everyone complaining, Tausch. It's those two guys that have a history of this. And this is the sad thing. What they're trying to do is influence the next game, is make the officials.
Phil Jackson was the king of that, right? That was Phil Jackson's deal back in the...
I mean, and it happens. It's unfortunate because you don't want to see it that way, where there's even a... like, no words should influence the officiating of a game. Now, that's not to say that, let's just do it to the sport that you two cover the most in football. That's not to say if the Packers are playing the Lions and 65 on the Packers at the time is holding every play, and the Lions say to the league office, please keep an eye on 65, he holds on every play. Right? Okay, I guess you have to be aware of that. But I don't even know. I mean, I guess I'll ask in return. Should you even be allowed to do that? Because aren't you trying to influence where a ref would look, which they should be looking at wherever they're told to look and trained to pay attention to, no?
No, I have no problem with you pointing out things that you watch on film because they watch, but during after the game and how they went about that, it was fairly obvious the Lakers felt like they got robbed. And they're trying to set up so they get, even though they shot more free throws than any other team in the league all year, they're complaining because they didn't get the same amount of calls in the postseason. Well, they all know postseason basketball, just like in the football, things don't get called as closely. You want the players to make
but
plays.
Josh, where LeBron looks bad last night is he's complaining afterwards because he knows they're in trouble about a play that happened in the third quarter. Meanwhile, with the game tied at 99 all, did he not push off for Kentavious Caldwell?
Should have gotten a call there, yes. Yeah, and that's why I just take all of that.
He should have been a call for an offensive foul.
Yeah, can you imagine the lividness of everybody if that would have happened? So, all right, hey, your boy was born in Baraboo. Jesse Nelson did a little research, Jason. It's true, huh? He's a Baraboo.
That's true, but he went to high school in Ohio. So at some point he left Baraboo.
But
for
I found a way. I would like to give myself credit. I found a way to localize Daryl Morey.
Yeah, you did.
Really well done.
That was very good.
What is Baraboo most known for, Evan? Since you're
Dan Beyer. Dan Beyer, Fox Sports Radio.
No, besides that.
I worked with Madison back in the day.
Besides that, Circus Country.
What is
Baraboo Circus Country?
Dave Craig.
No, you're thinking of Milton.
Milton College. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Speaking of localizing something.
No wonder his teams are such a circus, am I right?
That's not bad. That's not bad.
That's pretty good.
They never win anything.
Remember when Dave Craig? No, Steve DeBerg had the pins in his finger, or was it Dave Craig? Like, literally, I remember pictures of pins in the guy's fingers because something happened to him.
Jesse will fact-check that after the Baraboo resident Daryl Morley question. Speaking of localizing things, we were talking about draft day, and the film features two of our Cleveland teammates in Riz and Aaron Goldhammer. I'm curious, are you a fan of that film, or do you think it's unrealistic and it sucks? Because it is very one way or the other. There's very few people that are in the middle.
I will watch it every single time it's on. I don't
Me too.
Care that it's unrealistic. Who cares that it's unrealistic? It's a football movie that's about a draft. Sure, some of the trades wouldn't be made the way that they're made. I mean, who cares? I mean, why don't we apply that to every science fiction film and say, you know what, it's not realistic, can't lie, I don't like it. It's because we have such knowledge of this as sports fans that we think it is so far-fetched. I mean, give me a break. Do you know? Do you want to hear something ridiculous?
Yes.
So Christopher Mad Dog Russo, who's on First Take, of course, with Stephen A. Smith on Wednesdays and SiriusXM, will not watch Major League because it was filmed in Milwaukee and not Cleveland.
What?
And it's not an anti-Wisconsin thing.
It's authenticity.
He doesn't find it to be realistic. Mm. The authenticity, exactly. That it's not. You got to film that in Cleveland. Because Euchre's obviously in it, et cetera.
So,
this whole thing about draft day is so stupid. Who cares that he traded down and trade back up? He got his pick back in pancakes. Who cares? It's a good movie.
I'm curious if Mad Dog is going to stand on that hill. What movie can he watch? Because there is no movie that's 100% authentic. None.
I'll give you another one. One of the batters in 42... The tremendous movie. Well, actually, both these movies have the late great Chadwick Boseman in them. Now that I think about it, but with Chadwick Boseman in it, one of the batters is batting for the wrong side of the plate. He ripped the movie. He said, "You can't get that wrong." I don't remember who it was. The guy was batting lefty versus righty. He went nuts on that. Couldn't do it.
Wow. He's a stickler. So, Evan, as a Patriots aficionado. As you're looking at the top of this draft, which will obviously begin on Thursday night, Mel Kiper has his projections. It's Caleb Williams 1 to the Bears, obviously. Jaden Daniels to the Commanders, whether he wants to go there or not. And Drake May 3 to the Patriots. I know Elliot Wolf has said they're open for business. They're open to trading up, down, all around. If you're putting together your Vontae Mack, no matter what, post-it note for the Patriots. Whose name are you writing on it?
I'm starting to really lean into Drake May. I think a lot of people, the North Carolina quarterback, a lot of people are high on him. And I just think if it is clear cut, the top three and then the middle three after that, and you have the third pick and you have Jacoby Brissett who you can play, I don't see why you would pass on Drake May. If he's the guy, and I get, listen, the maneuverability of trading down to trade back up to get a guy like J.J. McCarthy is certainly interesting, but Drake May seems to be that guy. That's probably where I would go here. I also, could I see them trading? Yeah. Can I throw something at you guys? Because I have been pitching this to people, and it's right up your alley relative to a player you know.
Okay.
So the whole Top Golf thing has become a huge thing. For people who don't realize, the Washington Commanders brought in all these draft prospects, and they had them all play Top Golf together. And it was like a whole thing that Jaden Daniels allegedly was not happy because he thought he was going to come in on a solo visit, et cetera, et cetera. And then he really wants to go to the Raiders, right? And the Raiders, coached by Antonio Pierce, his high school and college coach. So all I could think about is how do the Raiders go up and get him? They'd have to get up at least to number three, maybe to number two to get him. Well, they have a pick this year, next year, and the year after, but they don't have an additional first-round pick. Would the New York Jets give them the 10th pick in the draft for Davante Adams?
No.
Okay, let me follow that up, Tausch, with asking this question. Does Aaron Rodgers then not run the Jets anymore?
I think his...
Great question.
I think he's still very involved, but I think the New York Jets are also looking at this and saying, we're paying Davante this. We need help in other spots in order to keep, especially on the offensive line. So, no. For as much as I think Aaron still is involved, their horse is hitched to this wagon. Everybody's going to get fired if this thing doesn't go. So that would be the one thing that I could maybe say they might get into, but I would be shocked if that happened. Shocked.
All right, let me ask one other follow-up on that. Okay. Would the Chicago Bears, who I believe still have cap space left over, Jason would know better than I would the Chicago Bears give up the 9th pick in the draft for Davante Adams?
No. There's too many young wideouts that are on rookie deals that they would prefer to have rather than pay a 31-year-old $27, $28 million a year. I don't think they would.
Now they're going to draft the Washington kid, right?
The Roma Dunze?
Yeah.
But I think because the only reason I bring this all up, when you ask the question about the quarterbacks, I keep coming back to the Raiders, and do they have a way of getting there, right? Do they have a way of adding an additional first-rounder? Because as crazy as it sounds, I don't know that 3 first-rounders get you from 13 to 2 or 3 if you're the Raiders. Now, conversely, I'm going to stay in your division here in the NFC North. If you're a team like New England and you're willing to move out of that 3 spot, or Arizona and you're willing to move out of the 4 spot, long term, who's going to be worse, the Raiders or the Vikings? Because I wonder if the Vikings are offering additional picks in years to come, if teams look at it and say, if we give them a quarterback, they're going to be pretty good, these picks are going to be bad, versus the Raiders who may not be. So I've been wondering whether or not the Vikings may have a little bit of a harder time moving up if they don't overwhelm a team, because there's actually an assumption that they'll end up being good.
That's what Tausch was just talking about.
Yeah, Lewis Riddick said it. I think the Vikings skill position guys, the quarterback can fit in probably best with what the Minnesota Vikings coaching, line play, and skill position-wise. That's kind of what a lot of the ESPN experts have been saying. But I heard you with Sal Pal today and kind of saying that the Giants are going to be the swing as far as how...
Yeah, he said that. How, I don't see that. I got to be honest. I don't see that.
Did you tell Sal that, or did you just let him walk all over you?
Yeah, I let him walk all over me.
Okay, fair enough.
Wait, so why does he view them as the swing pick?
You totally disagreed, and you just said you just let it go.
No, I got to be honest. I hadn't thought about it till right now, because my only focus for that interview was reliving the moment that he told me a few months ago that Sylvester Stallone texts him all the time about the Eagles.
Yeah.
that is cool.
So, Evan, if there was one star, whether it's a singer or an actor or an actress that just wanted to chew the fat with you about the New England Patriots, who do you want texting you?
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady?
Okay.
The answer? I mean, what are we talking about? William Belichick?
Okay.
How good is he going to be with McAfee? Let's be honest. He is going to be so good with McAfee on Thursday night. He was so good with him last week. Oh, my God. He was just phenomenal. Oh,
hey,
great.
Before you go, why are the Crafts trying to bury him?
Good question.
Yeah,
that's what I was going to ask.
There's been a lot of buzz about this, and I think that they are – the perception that I get is that they are thrilled to take their team back, right? Mm-hmm. So this is such a psychological thing. So it's like if you own something, other people rent – Josh, you've actually owned businesses, so I don't want to get too personal, but let's just play this out. You've owned a business. Let's say you hired someone, and that person was – unreal in running the business, and you would win championship after championship and whatever the business would be, but you have absolutely no involvement in it, and you clash with the person running it. At some point, do you want the business back, or do you just want to win every single year?
I want to win every
year.
That's
what's happening.
When they started losing that turn, but I think if you're going to do that, and what I'm surprised by is everybody crushes Jerry Jones for being uber involved and taking his team back. I bet Jerry Jones would look at it and say, man, I should have let Jimmy Johnson run this and not let my ego get in the way. And I'm sure Bob Kraft and Johnny Kraft.
I don't agree with that.
Well, you can be wrong. That's okay.
Your can be wrong. You can speak it the right way, at least.
All right.
It's always a treat.
Who is Johnny Kraft? Oh, Jonathan, you call Johnny?
Yeah, I think Johnny Kraft is the epitome of when you have a family-run business, you never want to be that third base guy. I would not. If I'm a Patriots fan, I don't want Johnny Kraft running anything. I want someone that knows what they're doing.
This is, in a weird way, this is the best thing that's happened to Belichick, because when they broke up, whenever it was a couple months ago, and he walked away, everybody was piling on Belichick. If the dynasty doesn't happen and the reporting about Kraft doesn't happen, nobody's rallying in Belichick's favor. Now what you're seeing is all of these players and former coaches coming out and having his back. This is phenomenal for Belichick PR.
Yeah, yep. And the last thing, Elliott Wolf is the general manager, but he's not entitled general manager. So they made Diana, and I don't know who they is. I would think I would have a hunch it'd be some ownership folks. Had people rescind when Diana Rossini and other people reported general manager Elliott Wolf, they made him edit that he's not the general manager. That seems a little power play-ish, egotistical to me if I'm a Patriot fan.
That does not seem that at all. What that actually is, and Jason can speak towards this, is for interviewing rules and regulations as to what they can and cannot get away with.
Yeah, although I would add to that I was reading a piece, I think it was from the Boston Globe, about Jonathan Kraft's role and how how he's exerting his opinion and thoughts onto Elliott Wolf, which, if you know Elliott Wolf's dad, I'd be curious to know. I'm sure Elliott's happy to have that job, but I'm not sure he wants the owner's son telling him who they need to be drafting, and there seems to be a little bit of that dynamic starting to brew there. So we'll see. We'll see. And if they get the right quarterback, it won't really matter.
None of it matters.
Yep.
Yep, exactly.
Evan,
right.
Thanks for your time.
Unbelievable.
We appreciate you.
All right, guys. Thank you.
That is Evan Cohen. You can hear him on Unsportsmanlike every weekday morning across ESPN Wisconsin. Also see it on ESPN2, ESPNU, and across ESPN Radio. Tausch, raise a Coors Light to Evan. You guys were on the same page with a few things today.
We were indeed. Coors Light brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it is cold packaged, so it's made to chill in those mountains. On Coors Light's cold-activated bottles and cans, they turn blue. That's when you know it is chilled to perfection. That's why it's Coors Light in my hand. When I need a moment to chill, celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Back-to-back stars of the GKB Galaxy. First, Evan Cohen. Next, Homer.
It's Will Dean Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
You do make sure you do it right.
The stars of the Playtone Galaxy aligning. First, Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike. Now, you hear him on the Homer Hour with not just Homer, but Brian Bulaga. You got Anderson. You got, well, you got me on occasion. You got Gary Ellerson. And, of course, you also hear him on the Marquette Men's Basketball Radio Network. And I'm assuming he's got to tape another God Talk, My Faith, with Homer and Pip this morning. It is Steve the Homer. True Homer, good morning. How are you?
I'm not good. I failed on fixing my furnace. I thought I could do it, and apparently I have more limitations, so sucks.
I'm curious what made you think you could fix it, and what is wrong with it that you thought
well,
it was
in
your
I had
level
to put
of
in a new
skill?
I had to deal with the situation, and I thought I had that part down, and either the thermostat's no good or the connection to the furnace.
Or the guy who's doing it is no good.
No, I got two guys for furnace, but I didn't think I would have to call them. Now I do.
You should call that 98-year-old lady that works at the tire shop. She could help you.
She just answers phones. She does not do furnaces. But that's a great choice. Yes, 98 years old, and she's working today. I should probably go over there sometime this afternoon. Wish her a happy 100th birthday. She's going to make it that long.
In case she doesn't make it.
Have you ever known anybody that old to work?
No, I never have. You're getting up there, but not 98.
I've got to do 30 more years to get to that. All right. Yes.
Homer, I spent some time with you and Brian Bulaga last night talking about the NFL draft and the expectations. We're going to get to some of the things that Goody said yesterday as we continue our show today. But I'm curious. You know, one of the things that we talked about last night was this idea that they're sitting at 25, they've got some needs, but the assertion that Goody doesn't want to necessarily trade some of his picks to move up to get a difference maker. And he said that player would have to be special and the kind of player you don't get in the draft very often, like multiple years type, you don't get this kind of guy. So what are you expecting to happen on Thursday night? No trade? Stay where they are?
No, it'll be the way that he's traded that, like they did with Clay Matthews, like they did with Jordan Love. Somebody that they like so much better than where they are in the draft, they'll pay a little bit to move up a couple spots. But it's hard to make a judgment because he already did something he never does by picking up the high-priced free agent. So maybe he'll do something else. But that, you know, I actually listened to the entire conversation because I was curious. And
it was a nice change
of pace. I understand why he does measurables, because measurables make him believe that the upside, that you could, it increases the chances of getting a player that turns out to be really good. And two, the 1.6, which I thought you've got to do a story on. Was it 1.6 or 1.8?
Yeah, 1.6 out of every draft class. 1.6 players is the average number of guys that then get a second contract from the team that drafts them.
I mean, I always like to know what did it used to be, but it would appear to me that if that's viewed as differently, then the draft is different or how you view it. He didn't get into detail. But if that's a significant change, then the way you draft would have to possibly be a significant change, or at least that's kind of the way he presented it without giving specifics. But that was my most fascinated part by far, because that would change things. Like, you do what? Because you're generally only going to have them for their first contract, right? But maybe they never had players for more than their first contract.
I think it has gotten to be fewer, and I do think he has also, you know, one of the things that he
talks
about.
You're also looking at 4 years now instead of three, and then there's a fifth-year option that there used to not be. So it's
right.
You're getting longer terms with your first play with the draft picks than you did 10 years ago.
So does that mean you draft differently, or
I think
no
effect you really are selective with who you decide to give second contracts to, because if they're replaceable by someone that can give you 4 years at a much cheaper discount, you do it. If they're studs, you keep them.
Right. Like, I think John Runyon is the example.
Really good,
right?
Example. Yep.
In the old days, when Tausch played, so to speak, he gets a second contract from Packers.
Yep.
You don't let him walk out the door. And now, and look, I also think Goody has had a shift, and he talked about it yesterday to some degree, that you know, he really does believe in this young guy concept, and that when you get the, for lack of a better term, cheap labor, and you can spend lavishly in certain spots, and you decide other guys are replaceable by the next draft pick, that's what they did with Runyon. They've decided that Sean Ryan, who was drafted 2 years later, is now the right guy to go there. And then they're going to do it again to somebody else, most likely.
Right, probably do it to Sean Ryan.
Right.
I mean, made that change with the contracts. By the way, as far as, you know, whether they sign a second contract, I don't really care unless it changes the way they draft. I mean, that's my interest. If it hasn't changed the way they draft, then don't even tell us next year. Why would I care?
So, Homer, if all things are equal, where do you hope? Not player, I'm not going to ask you to name a player, but what position, if things are equal with that 25th pick and they stay there, where do you hope Green Bay goes for Thursday?
I don't care enough about it to answer.
Great.
The only one thing that matters.
Good deal.
So I'll answer what's important. The only thing that matters is that Jordan Love continues to improve. On a scale of 1 to 10, that's a 10.
So then why are we talking about the draft?
Hold on. So the draft is overall. I can't wait till all the people are picked because Ron Wolf is in the Hall of Fame. And he sucked at first-round picks. So clearly it isn't the end-all, be-all, especially when you pick late in the first round. I think it's possible, because this could be a great draft, I think it's possible that when they pick, there will be someone they like so much that he might trade up a spot or two. That would be my prediction on this. But it's the overall draft, right? If Ron Wolf wouldn't be in the Hall of Fame, it was based on first-round picks, right?
Ron Wolf would be in the Hall of Fame if he didn't give up a first-round pick to get Brett Favre.
Okay, but and first-round, yes. But, I mean, it's
so selection. That was his first-round pick, and he nailed it.
So the draft that we would say his greatest draft, Ron Wolf's was 1995, when Craig Newsom was not a multi-Pro Bowl corner as the first-round pick. But you got Antonio Freeman in that draft. You got William Henderson in that draft. You got Brian Williams, who was a really good 4-3 outside will linebacker. You got Travis Jervey in that draft, who ended up being a good special teams and running back player. And then in the seventh round, you got Adam Timmerman. He's one of those guys from the seventh round when we talk about Tausch and Driver. Adam Timmerman turned out to be a multi-time Pro Bowler in the seventh round. That is his greatest draft. But to Tausch's point, if he doesn't trade for Favre, doesn't matter how good he was at building teams, and even if they win a Super Bowl, I don't think he probably gets to the Hall of Fame.
And I'm confident, as everybody probably is, that Goody has resurrected himself from El Succo in the draft, specifically with tight ends and wide receivers, to where now everybody legitimately has some level of optimism that whoever he takes, there'll be some players out there. I don't know why it's changed the last couple of years. That's still an unknown. Whatever players he takes, you'll do the study and I'll think, hey.
Yeah.
But my prediction would be they will move up two spots in the first round, only two, because they don't want to pay a whole lot for it. Because just like was the case with Jordan Love, that I'll always believe, he liked him so much that he didn't think he'd be able to get a player of that value at that point in the first round, and he'll say the same thing this year. This will be their second Jordan Love, though he won't be as significant.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I know this, that he does sound very reluctant to give up those day two picks to move. He believes he can get really good players there. So we'll see. If he can get a bargain to move up a little bit in some spots, I think he'll do it. But again, to your point about him being what'd you call him? El Succo?
Yeah.
I don't know and I want to explore this with Tausch during the 11 o'clock hour. I don't know if it was false humility or if he really feels this way. But Goody multiple times yesterday went back to how much opportunity this draft class got right away. And if I wonder if he does not think that his draft class is quite as star-spangled awesome as we keep talking about it being, because it got more opportunity. And maybe
right. No,
he doesn't.
I think he's overselling that. Well, he tried to. But I think what he's admitting is he was lucky, and he doesn't want to say he was lucky. I mean, you talked about it, about how he waited for Reed.
Jaden Reed.
Well, because, I mean, anybody would do that. if we have a group of two or three people, there's no need to trade up. But we don't know which one we're getting. That's fine. We'll take one of those three. And I think I took it more as that they were lucky. Like, you know, they made some good picks, but they could just as well be unlucky because it's that hard. Right. I mean, to me, the draft is like people should view gambling. It's fun, but it's really hard. And if you don't respect how really hard it is, like everybody should feel that Goody was lucky the last couple of years. That's a part of it. We just don't know how much. That'll be determined in the next couple of years.
Homer, have fun on God Talk and say hi to you. Should have your 98-year-old woman be on God Talk.
Good idea.
She is a potential future. Yes. Yep, she fits.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
I don't know how to ask her to say that she died. Bye.
That is Steve the Homer True. You can hear him every weekday on the Homer Hour throughout ESPN Wisconsin. All right, Tausch, I do want to get to that Jaden Reed part and about the opportunities that last year's draft class got, because I did think that was a pretty interesting conversation. We'll get to that coming up. You want to tell me about Prize Picks now?
Oh, yeah, I do, but I don't.
Oh, no.
Old T had a big opportunity last night.
Oh, no.
I went against my philosophy, which was dumb.
Oh, you went for the big six spots.
I went for a five-piece nuggie, and I got four.
Oh!
And I missed.
What'd you miss?
Brunson. And Jesse, you know this. You got Brunson. The red-headed things where like the devil, and you got the goblin, the green little deals, which I don't necessarily...
Yeah, the goblins, they like reduce the number a
yeah,
little bit.
Yeah, and it takes so away a little bit, but...
Yeah.
And Brunson was a green last night, so it should have been a gimme. And it wasn't a gimme. I had Oof. Joker at the .5. And so OT was really close. Felt pretty good about it. We needed that game to go to OT. But Prize Picks was fun. It made me real interested. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app. With over 3 million active members, all you do, pick more or less on a 2-6 player stat projection, and you can watch the winnings roll in like I thought OT had last night. You know what? One of the great things about it, if you have an injured player, basketball, exit the game in the first half, they don't return, PrizePicks will have your back and not count it as a loss. Download the app today. Use the code WI for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code WI on PrizePicks for a deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
More next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
You're listening to Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance.
Thanks to Homer and to Evan Cohen, back to back. We'll get to the 11 o'clock hour momentarily. Tausch, real quick question that I think will frame our conversation about not only the Jaden Reed exchange I had with Goody yesterday, but the draft in general. Homer said luck. Mm-hmm. People don't like luck. People want credit for doing something well. They don't want to be told, oh, you got lucky.
Well, quick question for you. The harder you work, the...
more lucky you are.
The luckier you get. Same basic principle. So... is there luck that is involved in the draft? Absolutely there is. Is there also the analytical side of it and these numbers and the stuff that... but you can have the greatest numbers ever, and if you blow an Achilles in the first OTA,
right?
Can you rebound from it?
Right.
You know, what do they have inside? Do they have the drive to do it? Those are all the questions that you don't know, but... you can do all of the research. And the big thing, I believe, there's a ton of really good players. What are you coming into? Who's coaching you? What's the organizational support? That matters, too. And that's where you differentiate. I don't necessarily think that there's one group that is just that much better at analyzing all this talent. Everybody knows what people are doing.
Mm-hmm.
What they don't know is, do you have the facilities, do you have the people that are going to continue to help you grow and progress, and do you have the patience to let these players do that? That's what the secret sauce is. So is that luck? No, that's not. The luck is the injury piece of it, and you get lucky with you get some cat that doesn't really have it on film and doesn't, and they get it, and they go to that next level, and then right. the Patrick Mahomes of the world, and all of a sudden you're a three-time champ and all of your guys are getting fat new contract extensions till 2029? Is that luck? Partially, but it's also a lot of research, development, and then having the support system there to grow it.
I really liked Goody's answer in our exchange yesterday about the Jaden Reed pick and how that played out. I want to get to that to kick off the 11 o'clock hour. Someday we'll put down our Vontae Mack no matter what pieces. I don't know when that'll be.
It'll be tomorrow.
We still have till Thursday when the first round occurs. We'll talk about the how and the why and how it worked out with Jaden Reed as the example of how the draft has these twists and turns. We'll do that to kick off the 11 o'clock hour, which we'll do in 2 minutes. It's Wilde and Tausch.